Well, here we are, another weekend, Memorial Weekend, and we're honoring our vets. I was on the phone long distance this morning. Already with a vet that called me up. He served during the Kennedy administration. He told me the story of how that in Guantanamo Bay, they were ready. There was a mission. We apparently don't realize this, but there was a mission. There were five Russian ships there, and it was during that conflict. If you know your history, and the Russians were flexing their muscles, and there was a team. It was kind of like the SEALs, but I think it was before the SEALs, and he was on that team, and they were going to scuba dive, swim over to these ships, which was within view, attach explosives to the belly of those iron beasts and blow them up because things had escalated at such a point. And the moment that they were to leave, those ships up and pulled out of bay and went back to Russia. I appreciate our vets so much. I love you folks. I love you that served our country. The very first person, the best gift that you can give to a vet is to win him to Christ if he isn't already saved. That's the best gift. The very first vet that I won to the Lord was my uncle. My uncle Matt, it was my cousin here. She comes here sometimes, and my uncle Matt, I had spoken to him many times about the Lord, but he was a very hard man. And one cold, cold, rainy Saturday, I drove early in the morning all the way to the Countersport Hospital to talk to my uncle. And there, with tears coming down his face, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And hours later, he went home to be with the Lord. The greatest gift you can give to a vet is win him to Christ. Then it was old Ray Gray. I don't know if Nancy Redmond's here tonight, but I was visiting her father, Edgar. And I had visited him several times. His health has failed. He ended up at the Absolute Care in Salamanca. And I went there to visit Ray. And I went there to visit Edgar. And I'm sitting there with Edgar, and I took my New Testament out, and I said, Edgar, I don't understand. I don't understand why a man has to suffer. And here was Edgar. He could no longer speak. He couldn't take on food. And I sat there reading scriptures to him and crying. And I said, Edgar, there's got to be a purpose for all of this. God has something in mind. I don't know what it is, but Edgar, someday you're going to have a brand new body. And I was sharing scriptures, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I detected a movement. And I looked, and here had been a man sitting in his wheelchair the whole time, virtually motionless. I go, Edgar, I didn't know you had a roommate. Who's your roommate? And I immediately turned and introduced myself. And he said, well, I'm Ray Gray. Ray, I'm pleased to meet you. Ray Gray was an athletic director years and years and years ago at the Ellicottville Central School. And quicker than I can tell the story, Ray, right there in his wheelchair, received Christ into his heart. He had been listening to us the whole time. And there he received Christ into his heart. And I turned to Edgar. I says, Edgar, can you imagine? Listen, if I hadn't come to see you, Ray would never have received Christ. That was your purpose. That's God used you right up to this very threshold. Obviously, Edgar was at the autumn and the winter of his life. And Edgar was so excited. His hands got to going. He was trying to pull him out from beneath the blankets. And he placed those cold, bony hands, acquainted with death, up onto my hand and squeezed them. And tears come down his eyes. And I left the hospital that day. And Edgar was gone in just a few days. He went home to be with the Lord. I followed up on Ray Gray. Ray, tell me some of your stories. And he would just about start. Then he put his head down. He said, it was so awful. I can't talk about it. I followed up on Ray Gray. 2 or 3 visits. One day I went in. Ray's no longer here. Ray passed away. Ray and Edgar in heaven today, right now. I'll never forget. Never forget old Bob Burrows. Bob Burrows was a big, strapping, strong man. Oh, he was hardened by the atrocities of war and hardened by the world and sin. I walked into his hospital room. His daughter, one of his daughters says, Al, would you please talk to my dad? I don't think he's saved. I walked into his room and he welcomed me with cussing and swearing. Who are you? You aren't some preacher, are you? And of course, no, I just do this stuff. I come to the hospital. And matter of fact, I don't know if Scott is here today. Scott Woodham. Scott went with me one time. Where's that young preacher kid? You going to bring him with you? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to talk to this guy? And so, you know, the Bible says that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so I just tried to be a friend. And I found out he was a vet, and I started talking to him. About the third visit, I was talking to Bob, and he started telling me a story. When he was over in Europe, and they apparently were under heavy fire from the Germans, lived in foxholes, and it was just horrible. Finally, there was a lull, a period of time when it seems like the shelling stopped, and he must have been in a village, and all of a sudden people begin to kind of cautiously come out of their hiding places. And here come a little boy, a little lad. Coming down the street. He was on his bicycle. And all of a sudden there was an incoming shell. And it struck the ground near that little lad. Broke his body. He was bleeding. Bob ran out and scooped this little lad up in his arms and held him, and he died in just moments. And Bob wept hard. Bob's telling me the story, and he began to break. He began to sob right there in the hospital room. And I knew that was my time. That was my time. I said, Bob, in all likelihood, that little lad's in heaven. Bob, would you like to see him someday? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'd give the world to see that little lad. I said, Bob, accept Christ. Accept him as your Lord and your Savior. And I'm sure you'll see him again. You know, the day came about 1.5, 2 years later. I did Bob's funeral. The day came. This is a hard, hard cussing man. The day came when I would come into the hospital room or visit him at his home. He'd stop me and say, Al, you let me pray for you. And then there's Frank Williams. I've never met a steadier man in all my life. Sound and steady. Frank belonged to this church. I love Frank. I'm going to miss him. Frank told a story. He said to me many times, he said, God had his hand on me. He protected me. I'll never forget the story when they were off the coast of Korea in those dark waters. And there was some Russian military piece of equipment that fired on their ship standing broadside out into the ocean. And it took a direct hit right into the side of the ship. That big old steel bullet slammed into that ship and bounced off into the waters and sunk to the bottom of the ocean. Right where Frank was inside his ship, that ship bent right in, dimpled in right where he was. The bullet was a dud. It never exploded. Frank lived to tell the story. He told me many other stories. I never met a man as steady as Frank, and I know I'm going to see him in heaven. Then Claude Miller. I met Claude at his home several years ago. Never knew it, that he was a vet. Never knew he served in the military. He was a very humble kind of a guy. And of course, you know, Claude took, he's home with the Lord today. I believe we had his funeral right here. But I remember talking to Claude, and Claude's desire was to be in this church whenever he could. The week that he passed away, he woke up, he was up early one Sunday morning. I don't know if Donna's here or not, but he, Donna says, Claude, what are you doing? You're in no physical condition. He says, I'm going to church. I want to be in church. That's where I belong. And he came. But Claude was an incredible guy. He turned down the honor of a Purple Heart that was awarded to him. Standing before high-ranking brass, he said, sirs, perhaps I would not be alive today were it not for the men under me and around me. How can I receive this reward when my men equally served as well? I love you, vets. You know, David said in 2 Samuel, his famous words, David said, the same thing happened to David. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should receive this reward, receive this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of our lives? Claude did the same thing, and he would not receive that reward. I thank you for our vets. I believe that, I honestly and truly, I appreciate you guys so much. Just a couple hours ago, I was listening to one, I was talking to him, and he was telling me some of the stories. And I said to him, you know, the Lord Jesus died for you. He brought you through this war. Do you know for sure right now you're going to go to heaven? And I witnessed him. First time I ever met this guy. Well, actually, I met him when I was just a little guy. And we reacquainted. And I spoke to him about the Lord. The greatest thing you can do for a vet is to win him to Christ. Well, here we are. I'd like to look at some things in the scriptures today. I'd like to present to us or ask us this morning, is the Lord Jesus Christ above all in your life? Is he number one? Is he above all? Well, Peter challenges his readers in the second epistle of Peter to remember the basic truths of the scriptures. Remember the basic truths of the scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Peter says, wherefore I will not be negligent. We know we could stop right there. I will not be negligent. In what way? I won't be negligent of living out truth. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What things? The basic truths of the faith. Even though you know them and you're established in this present truth, yes, I think it's important, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up and to put you in remembrance, to keep it hot. The basic truths of the scripture. Paul says it this way in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things that are above. Is Christ above all in our lives today? One of the greatest chapters in all the Bible is the Gospel according to John. And in all the Bible, I believe, I suppose that more sermons have been preached from the third chapter of the Gospel of John than any other chapter in the Bible. If you want to turn there, if you've got how many Bibles we got here with us today? Hold them up. Third chapter of the Gospel of John. Now listen, this is an excellent book. I'm convinced that more text had been taken from the third chapter than any other chapter in the Bible. God only knows how many messages have been preached from verses like John chapter 3, verse 3, when Jesus responds to Nicodemus and he says unto Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In all likelihood, the very first verse in the Bible that you and I have committed to memory was John 3:16. I don't know if it's up there with you. Say it with me. For God so, say it like you mean it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yet there is another verse in John chapter 3 that I have read over and over again. I never saw it like this before. It's, you know, it's so easy to read the Bible, to read verses and to read chapters and it not really register. Finally, one day, by a sermon that I heard as a young man in 1974 from a visiting preacher in our area, in our college chapel, this verse registered to me out of John chapter 3 and verse 31. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Twice the writer here, John, would impress upon us the fact that Jesus Christ that comes from above, that comes from heaven, is above all. The Proverbs of right, the writer of Proverbs in 15:24 states, the way of life is above to the wise that he may depart from hell beneath. You know, it is only through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. You will either see God on his throne surrounded by angels and redeemed humanity, or you will feel an indescribable weight of abandonment and darkness and unending regret, knowing that you are irrevocably fixed and unchangeable and lost if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, why would the writer John so dogmatically say that Christ is above all, that he is above all others that would claim to be God? Well, there's four reasons that I'd like to quickly go through. Four basic truths of the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is above all in creation. Jesus Christ is above all in creation. Now, I'm not saying he was created. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is part of the Godhead. Jesus always was. Now, look at John chapter 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, now that's not what our friends from the Watchtower Association will tell you. However, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. John 1:3, yes, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is above all in creation. Many years ago, I had I used to drive school bus, and Liz Edwards was one of my kids, and I keep telling her that she owes me some ISS time in school suspension, and I picked up her little daughter here a little bit ago, and she was all wrinkled up and upset about something, and I says to her mother, I says, you're going to go to ISS, what's the matter with this kid? But I used to drive school bus, and I had some special needs kids, and so it met that I had to have an aide. So this aide came on the bus, and I learned that my aide was a Jehovah Witness. The Bible says you're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I planned to carry that out. And so ever so carefully, over the period of about 2 years, ever so carefully, I would carefully draw my aide into discussion. Using these verses, Christ is above all. He's part of the Godhead. He's the creator. See, they don't think he's a, they think he's a great teacher, and that's about it. Well, now the story goes further. Never, ever, ever, never, ever underestimate the power of your testimony, of your witness. Never underestimate that. Now, going years before that, we were at a meeting in Rochester. And after the meeting, I said to Pastor Dave, I says, Dave, please, can you drive by the hospital? I've got someone I got to visit. Sure. So they stopped and they waited out in the van. I ran up, and this gentleman by the name of Bob Miller was in the hospital. He had a serious liver disease and was expected to die. I walked into the hospital room. He was shocked to see me. I don't have time to go into all the dynamics, but understand, it's my response. I don't care who the person is. If someone dials 1-800-BATMAN, I'm going to go, to the best of my ability, to the hospital or wherever.
Amen.
And I've been in some crazy situations. And I could tell you some might have you rolling the aisles, but I just can't take the time right now. But I went in and I seen old Bob Miller, and I talked to him and I shared with him, and I had my little New Testament and I opened it up and I shared some scripture with him, and he sat there in complete silence and listened to me. And then I prayed with him. Sometimes you can't tell right away what's going on. You wonder what's going on in a guy's mind. But here I'm here to tell you, God healed that man. He healed him of his liver disease, and he lived, I'm talking 15 or 20 years later. Now the story continues. It gets good. So here I am about 10 years later. I get this aide. She comes on the bus, and Bob shows up at my place of employment, talks to my supervisor. He wants his CDL. He wants to drive school bus. So the supervisor one day said, Bob, all your papers in order, everything's good. Now I want you to pick a driver, and you're with your driver for the next 6 weeks. And then after that, maybe you can get your CDL. Whose bus do you want to ride? I want to ride Al Bat's bus. Great. He came on unprompted. Bob stood right in the aisle and told of the miracle of the healing that took place in his life, and the fact that one day he's going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that witness sat right there in silence. The power of that testimony. Well, a great deal of time passed. Bob did well. Bob's in heaven today, not because his liver failed. He was in it. He had an accident. That's a miracle. But it gets better. My aide took sick one day. She was in the hospital. I got a phone call. Someone alerted me to it. And so I thought, boy, I got to get up and see this person. By then, I speculate that many folks knew me. They knew my nature. I mean, when I talk to people, was sometimes the first question I ask, or I mean, I'll warm up. I'll try to be wise as a serpent. Sooner or later, I'm going to talk to him about the Lord. And my aide, actually, the day came when she confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She took sick. So I went into the hospital, and I'll never forget turning the corner and looking down the corridor, and there's a whole bunch of men standing outside her room. And I'm thinking, oh my. So I approached the room, and I got there, and they were all kind of standing around in the way. I guess they weren't going to let me go in. I think they knew who I was. Got any idea why? And so there seemed to be one of the gentlemen, it was sort of the spokesman, he came up. Who are you and why are you here? And I could have told him, I'm a preacher, get out of the way. No, I'm just a bus driver. And she used to work in my boss. He turned and went into the room. And I could hear her in the room. That's El Bat. You let him in here. It was like the parting of the Red Sea. Those JWs stepped aside, and I walked on in there. And I walked up to her bed, made my acquaintance with a family. They were gathered around, and I said to her, I says, you know what we talked about. You know that your salvation is through Christ alone. You know that we have talked about this, and this is the promise that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. There was none other name under heaven. They're all listening. I says, I want to pray with you. And that night in the hospital, I openly prayed with her, and she took me by the hand, and I held her hand. There she was in that bed, her family standing all about, and I said, thank you, Lord, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is a confidence that we have in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is a record that God's given to us eternal life. And I prayed right down through to verse 13, these things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life. He that's got the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. She squeezed my hand. I walked out of that room, and she died that night within a few hours. A week and a half passed, and her son, I crossed him in the way somewheres. He come up to me, Mr. Bat, I received Jesus like my mom did. Do we understand? Do we understand the magnitude of what is said here? When you want to know what a powerful Savior we have, understand He's the one that put the stars and the heavens into place. Since the construction of the Hubble telescope, which has been in progress now for many years, soon after that, scientists said that there was over 350 billion galaxies out there, and they haven't found the edge of space. That speaks of Jesus. He's the creator. There's victory in Jesus no matter what. Understand, Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. When there's somebody that's unsaved and you think it's an impossible task, there's victory in Jesus. Understand that if you're praying for him, God hears you and he'll make a way. I'll never forget Sheila Shively, bless her heart. She belongs here and she's taking care of Dominic and Cheyenne. She's their grandmother, bless her heart. But she had a stroke some weeks ago and she's recouping at home. But I can remember she used to come to me and she'd say, Al, I'm so concerned about my brother Bill. I am so concerned. I've been praying for him. And I try to talk to him. I try to leave tracks. And he gets so mad. He gets so violent. And he'll threaten to throw me out of the house. She said, I don't know what to do. She said, I'm praying. I said, Sheila, keep praying. Give me his address. No, I'm not going to give you his address. He'll call the cops. I mean, it's terrible. And I stopped for a minute. I think I said, Sheila, listen, Sheila, look it. If ever in the event that Bill ends up in the hospital or something, you call me because that's neutral ground. When a man is out of his castle, when he's out of the four walls of where he's comfortable, quite often they're vulnerable. I found that to be true. And also one-on-one is so important. When you're with a group of people, talk about the weather. When you're one-on-one, talk about the Lord. So, sure enough, about 2 years passed and the phone rang one Saturday morning. It was Sheila. And I says, I'm on my way. And I was really nervous about this. And I sat out in the parking lot for a few moments and I prayed. But then I went up, walked into his room, and I got the welcome like I got from Bob Barrows. Who are you? And who sent you here? Well, I just visit people. That's what I do. And I began to talk to him. I had my ID tag and everything like that. And so he probably thought I was a doctor. So all he would say is, I want to go home. So I walked up. He's laying in his bed like this. You know, it's about this high. And I'm standing there. And I says, okay, Bill, I'll make arrangements. I will pray that God will allow you to go home and be in the comforts of your home. And I stood right there and I, dear Lord Jesus, I pray for Bill. I ask God that you would work in his life. And Lord, and I prayed, and when I opened my eyes up, he's laying right there and he's looking up at me. And it like scared me. I said, Bill, listen to me. Where do you live? And he gave me his address. I don't remember what it was. I could drive there today, but I don't know what the number is. I said, I'd like to come and visit you. You may not come to my house. But then he said, but I'll tell you what, Al. You can pull your car in my driveway and you can pray for me. I did, more than once. And one day his family saw me. And they snuck me in the back door. Bill doesn't know it. Well, he does now, because I'm here to tell you he's in heaven. But the day came when he looked up into the face of his wife, Susan. He says, Susan, and she was a believer. Ask, any of you know Sheila Shively? Ask her about the story. And he looked up into his wife's face and said, Susan, it's all right. Things are taken care of. I'm going to be in heaven someday. I've accepted Jesus. It's okay. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, wherefore he's able to save to them the uttermost that come unto God by him. That speaks of Jesus. Stay close to him. Make him above all in your lives. Make him above all in your life. He's going to be there for you when you get that report from the doctor. He'll help you. He'll see you through. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is above all in creation because he is a powerful one. He is above all in his birth. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It seems it was John's theme to reveal God in terms of a human body. That's why he said, and we beheld his glory. It was John that loved Jesus, that leaned on him, that touched him, and yet he was God in the flesh. Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah. He was spoken of in Galatians 4:4-5. Jesus Christ is above all because Jesus Christ is the only one who had a virgin birth. Jesus Christ is above all in his death. No one ever died like Jesus died. You may say, well, there were those that were crucified back in that day. Yes. But no one died like Jesus. He not only died a physical death, he died a spiritual death. Now look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 27:46. Jesus was on the cross. You remember the account? He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the spiritual death. God turned his back and all of the sin of the world was on him. And he paid for you and me and for our sins. He died for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to become sin for us, this one who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ is above all in his death. Jesus Christ is above all in his resurrection. John chapter 2:18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest you to us, seeing that you do these things. What did Jesus do? This was right after he drove them out of the temple. Remember the account? It happened twice in the scriptures. He drove them out. He turned over their tables. And he says, this is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And so they said, what are you doing? Show me a sign that you do that. Jesus answered and he said unto them, destroy this temple and I'll rear it up in 3 days. Well, wait a minute. This temple was 46 years in being built. You're going to raise it up in 3 days? Right over the head. He was talking about his body. But Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said these things to the Jews, and they believed the scripture. Jesus died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and in 3 days it was prophesied here, he came out of that tomb and he had victory over the grave. He had victory over the tomb. He had victory over sin and death in the world, and there's victory for you and me in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, 1 John 3, 2. Behold, now are we the sons of God. He's above all in his resurrection. I'm hurrying along, but now I want to do something. I want to give us an exam. This is time of the year that college kids get their exams. I want to ask us some questions. I want to see how well we've listened today. I've scanned over. I've broken my outline up in pieces. I've tried to hurry along. I'm running out of time. When the preacher up here is preaching the word of God, do we or do we not say amen?
Amen.
It's a little weak. When Sean comes back, he's going to be pumped. We all know that, but you scare him. All of you shout amen when he says something that, you know, that connects in unison. Just shocking. I want to know how well you've listened today, and the way you're going to answer is by saying amen. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the creator? He is in fact God, and that Jesus is above all in creation.
Amen.
How many of you believe that Jesus Christ was not conceived by Joseph in the womb of Mary, but by the very Holy Spirit of God himself? He is virgin born, and that he is above all in his birth.
Amen.
How many of you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, and without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption for sin, and that Jesus Christ is above all in his death?
Amen.
How many of you believe that Jesus Christ literally and bodily arose from the dead? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you and me, right now, praying for us, and that he is above all in his resurrection?
Amen.
Are you saying then that you agree with John chapter 3, verse 31? Are you saying that you agree that this one that comes from above, that comes from heaven, is above all?
Amen.
Now I want to ask you a question. And I don't want an answer. I just want you to think. You answered as I thought you would have answered. Obviously, as I expected you. I know what this ministry is. I know what Sean preached. I know everything about this ministry. I'm connected. The question I have this morning, this evening, and I don't want an answer. I want you to think. Is he? Is he really? Is he really above all in your life? Now, I'm not talking about what we believe so much as how we behave, how we live out truth. It is one thing to take our Bibles and say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, without apology, and state these fundamental truths that we've just gone over. And it's another thing for us to have lives that back up what we say we believe. Is Jesus Christ really above all in our lives? Now, I want us to go home from this chapel and I want us to meditate on this and really, really think of every area of our lives. Is Christ above every area of our lives? How about even legitimate areas? Hobbies. How about your hobbies? Nothing wrong with hobbies, but is he above them? How about our possessions, TVs, computers, things? How we use them is as important as having them. Is he above these things? How about, is he above the jobs that we have? I think you ought to work. You shouldn't be a slug. You need to work, but you need to be the best person on that job. That job actually can be a vehicle through which Christ can receive glory if he's above all in your life. Is he above the people in our lives? Is Christ above the relationships in our lives? I believe that we ought to have good, strong, build strong relationships that are founded in a ministry such as this. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You teens, you young people, you ones dating, is Christ above that one in your life? Is he above that one in your life? You young single men, I hold you accountable as being above all the spiritual leader. As you are with that young lady. I'm mad, and I'm still mad. I remember my daughter, my middle daughter, when she was a teen, was somewhat involved with a young man in her high school. And I'm still mad, I think about it. Phyllis says to me, Al, for crying out loud, get over it. She's 37 years old. But when our kids all come home, you know, the girls go off and they'll get to laughing. And what are you laughing about? And we learned so much of some of the stuff that happened. And they used to call my wife, Phyllis, Eagle Eyes, because they never could get away with nothing. And I remember when she was somewhat involved with a young man, and this young man's grandmother gave him the keys to their summer cabin so that they could have an unsupervised gathering. And Phyllis had learned about it, and she told me, she says, you got to find your daughter. You know how it is, your daughter. All of a sudden, they don't take ownership. And so I made a few phone calls, and I'm getting madder by the minute, and I finally found out where she was at, and I went through the night and arrived at this summer cabin. And when I went flying through the door, crashing through the door, them kids scattered like rats on a sinking ship. And I gently took my daughter by the arm and I took her home. She was mortified, just totally embarrassed her. And I started feeling bad, but I the day came when she came to me and she said, Dad, she said, do you know what those other kids said? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Dad, they said, Corey, your dad must really love you. Corey, I wish I had a dad like yours. I'm still mad at that young man. You young ladies, you need to be careful. believe what that guy tells you. He's going to say to you, you're the prettiest thing he ever saw. No, that's not true. You're just the best that he could do right now. Don't believe him. You make a lot of mistakes in this life. And you can get over them. But you get into a wrong relationship. Or you marry the wrong person. And you'll never get over it. Oh, listen. God will forgive. God will forgive. But there are some things in this life from which you will never get over with. Never. God will even, Satan will get involved and he'll even take a normal marital relationship and raise havoc if Christ is not above all in your life. John 3:31, he that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Is he above all in your life today? I have to cut this short. There's more I want to say, but that's fine. I love you folks. I care about you. I really do. And you know, I have three daughters. I never had a... Phyllis says to me, it's a good thing you didn't have a son. You'd kill him. But I'm partial to young ladies. If you got some guy hitting on you, you bring him to me. Kapow, and a kisser.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, do the right thing.
Amen.
I've been told that possibly there's a young man listening online. I don't know what you call it, live stream, YouTube, or whatever in the world it is, right now. And Kyle, if you're listening, I love you. And I'm telling you, Kyle, do the right thing. I hope you're listening. He's one of our vets. He's up at Fort Drum. And I'm going to ask you guys right now, if by chance Kyle is listening, he needs to hear you right now. How many of you will say a loud amen to this? How many of you will say, this week I'm going to pray for Kyle and for his wife Christina? They're going through a horrible time. Right now, by a loud amen, tell Kyle you're going to pray for him. How many will say amen?
Amen.
Okay, Kyle, you heard that. These folks are praying for you. Do the right thing. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I've run over. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people. God, help them to know I love them. God, help them, Lord Jesus, in any of the things or areas in their life where they need to understand whether they are placing you above all in their lives. Lord, help them today. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for these people. Lord Jesus, I wish I could just get to know everybody more. And Lord, I pray that you would impress it upon their heart. Lord, I don't care if I got to be here till 1 o'clock in the morning until my strength runs out. I'll pray with anybody that wants to come up here. Thank you, Lord Jesus.